If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that you would be with us. Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to live by faith better. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. I read a story about a difficult decision made by a professional baseball player named Tim Burke concerning his family. From the time Burke can remember, his dream was to become a professional baseball player. Through years of sacrifice, years of hard work, he finally achieved that goal. While a successful pitcher for the Montreal Expos, he and his wife wanted to start a family, but discovered they were unable to have children. And so after much prayer and thought and discussion, they decided to adopt four special needs international children, which led to one of the most difficult decisions of Tim's life. He discovered that his life on the road conflicted with his ability to be a quality husband and dad. Over time, it became clear that he couldn't do a good job at both. After more prayer and soul searching, he made what many considered to be an unbelievable decision. He decided to give up professional baseball. When he left the stadium for the last time, reporters wanted to know why he was retiring. "Baseball is going to do fine without me," he said. "It's not going to miss a beat. But I'm the only father my children have. I'm the only husband my wife has. And they need me a lot more than baseball does." And with that, he left. What a hard decision that must have been. What a costly choice. What a sacrifice he made. And yet, by Burke's way of looking at it, the decision may not have been all that difficult at all. Somehow, he was clear on what the most important thing was to him, and that made everything else easier. It made it easier to be faithful to the right things. And so while we think about that, let me remind you where we are. Today, we're continuing our spring training series as we work our way through the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11. We're looking at different pictures of faithfulness. Faithfulness in difficulty, faithfulness in danger, faithfulness in doubt, faithfulness through it all. Because, of course, there are times when faith and being faithful is simply hard. As much as we sometimes think that the challenge of faithfulness occurs when God calls us to do something difficult or different from everyone else, maybe more often than not, the challenge of faithfulness occurs in just the mundane, common, ordinary decisions of life. Being more aware of God in our everyday lives, spending time with God in a regular and disciplined way, following God as we make choices. Somehow these Hall of Famers of the faith, these fathers and mothers of the faith, did what was faithful when it was big and when it was small, when it was easy and when it was hard. And so we're going to look to them to try and figure out how did they do it and how might we live by faith better. So if you would, I would encourage and invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, as we continue our journey through the Hall of Fame. Hebrews 11, 17. While you're turning there, I'm going to remind you about verse 1, kind of what's on the entryway of the Hall of Fame. It says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Confident in hope, assured of what we don't see. You see, part of the premise here is that these people, these Hall of Famers, were able to see something that others couldn't see. They had a different vision of the world all around them. They saw themselves as a different kind of people. They had a sense of something bigger and better and beyond that the rest of us sometimes lack. And it's not just that they could see it. It's that they then chose to act accordingly. They lived based on their hope. They could see something, and then they followed it through. In many ways, this is what we're talking about. The ability to live towards hope, to follow in faithfulness, to trust God no matter what, even when we don't know why. Because this is what these Hall of Famers did, and maybe in studying them, we could renew our vision for what they saw and what God continues to do all around us. So we continue our journey in Hebrews 11, verse 17. It says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. And we'll stop there. Our passage tells us that it was by faith that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son because God had told him to. Even though he also believed that God's promise that offspring would come through Isaac. Somehow he trusted that God would carry out his promises even if Abraham didn't know how or when or why. Even if Abraham didn't know what God was doing. Even then, Abraham trusted God enough to live faithfully. Now, before we go on, it's worth giving a little disclaimer about this story in general, because it seems kind of strange that God would call Abraham to do what he called him to do. More than that, it's probably worth also talking a little bit about how we discern God's voice. How do we know that that's God talking and not someone else? I mean, pastorally, I always worry when I hear someone say, but God is, I just feel like God is telling me to do insert crazy thing here. And so how do we figure that out? How do we know when it's God and when it's not? Well, first, looking at Abraham here, we recognize this is a very unique story. God is doing something very specific with Abraham in particular, teaching him how much he trusts God and teaching him that unlike pagan neighbors, God never wants us to sacrifice children. Second, at this point in the story, Abraham has decades of experience with God and God's faithfulness. He's gotten good at discerning God's voice. And finally, I want you to notice in the story we're about to read how present God is all along the way, walking very closely with Abraham in order to help him carefully navigate these lessons. Even more to the point, we have some tools that Abraham simply didn't have when we are trying to discern what God is calling us to do. First, we can ask ourselves the question, this thing that I'm hearing God calling us to do, is that consistent with the whole witness of Scripture? In other words, we know that God is consistent. And so God's not going to tell us to do one thing and tell us to not do it at the same time. That doesn't make any sense. So as a really simple, obvious example, if you feel like God is calling you to lie or steal, clearly you're hearing something wrong because God makes it very clear, don't lie, don't steal. Second, we can check to see if the voice we are hearing is consistent with the history of our faith. We now have thousands of years of experience with God leading us. So is what we're hearing consistent with what God has done in the past? That's not to say God can't do something new, but it is to say that God remains consistent. So can we see patterns of this in our past? And then finally, we can ask, does this get confirmed by the witness of the church community? One of the things that Abraham simply didn't have going with him is this community, a community of faith. He didn't have anyone he could ask, mature Christians, is this what you're hearing as well? Whereas we do. That being said, Abraham was paying close attention, and God is being very careful here. And so let's see what happens in the actual story. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. I do want to call your attention to the first verse I'm going to read, because it gives us a clue that sometimes we miss out on. But Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the knife and the fire. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to him, to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Amen. Now again, the first thing to notice here is that first verse. We are told from the outset that God is testing Abraham. In other words, despite what we'd conclude after a cursory reading of this story, it is not at any point God's intent that Isaac would be sacrificed. In fact, pretty much the main point of this story is that God does not want Isaac or any child to be sacrificed. What's more, if we put this story back in its original context, this command of God would maybe not have sounded quite so crazy to Abraham at that time. In that time, it would have been a relatively common practice for pious pagans to sacrifice children to local deities. And so it wouldn't have been totally out of left field to hear that a God wanted you to commit this atrocity. But therefore, unlike how we normally read this story, the surprising part of this story for Abraham, the part that he probably had to have a little extra faith in this story, was not so much that God might call him to offer a child, but the surprising part, the hard part, might have been that God called him to stop. And of course, we can see in this story an echo of a later story in the Bible as we remember just how far God is willing to go for our redemption, for our salvation, for our rescue. That he would sacrifice his own son, his very self, for us. But let's get back to Abraham. Here's our question. How do we live out faithfulness when it's hard, when it's surprising, when it's impossible? Maybe we can find part of the answer as we look back toward Abraham. Because I think our story reminds us to be listening, get moving, and to believe. Again, be listening, get moving, and finally believe. One of the things I'm struck by in this Abraham story is simply his attentiveness, his awareness to God's voice. He's always listening, always paying attention. In our passage, we notice that when God calls, Abraham responds, "Here I am." Maybe even more interesting and instructive is that this is what God has been teaching Abraham all along, teaching him to listen, teaching him to be responsive, teaching him to pay attention. God has taught Abraham to be aware of God's movement. In some ways, we saw this last week. God told Abraham to go to a place I will show you. In other words, you will not find it unless you keep paying attention. Or God told Abraham, you will be a blessing to others. But then he doesn't explain how or when or why. In other words, Abraham, you're going to have to pay attention on this one to know when you are blessed such that you can bless others. God told Abraham, you're going to have a lot of offspring through Sarah at a time when they didn't have any offspring. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to pay attention as we walk this road together. And in our passage, we again see God telling Abraham to go to a mountain I will show you. Again, Abraham, you're going to have to keep paying attention here or you won't find what you're looking for. You won't find what I'm leading you towards. It's funny, we often think that it'd be so much more helpful if God simply told us where to go or what to do and why. Or even more helpfully, if God just kind of laid out the whole plan for us, kind of gave us a roadmap of our life. The book of Tim, and when you're born, you just get this little book, and it comes with all the things that are going to happen. Chapter 1, you're born, and then we just go from there. But the problem is God knows us simply too well. He knows that if he laid out the whole plan for us, we either wouldn't do anything in it, or we would do it, but we'd stop paying attention to God. We'd stop trusting in God because we'd have everything already spelled out for us. If he gave us the plan, we wouldn't need him anymore because we'd have the map. We would put all our trust in the map and not in the one who created it. And this is why all throughout this story, we find Abraham being attentive because he's learned to pay attention. To me, this is especially impressive at the end of the ordeal. You have to imagine that Abraham is pretty focused and committed after he's bound Isaac. To have gotten that far, he must be resigned to this task. He must have hardened himself in order to do the unthinkable. And yet even then, when God calls through an angel with some urgency, I might note, Abraham again stops and again responds, "Here I am." Somehow Abraham was able to stay mindful and aware of God even in the midst of the long walk, even in the midst of the terrible task, and even at the beginning of the story when nothing's happening. Maybe this is how Abraham was able to live by faith. It's not just that he could see. It's that he was listening. I wonder if we listen like that. When we're working, when we're resting, when we're traveling, when we're speaking. Maybe it would help us live by faith better. But that's not all, because Abraham doesn't just listen, he responds. He takes the steps of faithfulness no matter where they lead. When God tells him to go, he goes. And maybe this is the second part of living by faith when it's hard. It's getting started. It's continuing on. It's doing not just what's needed, but simply what's next. Don't get so caught up in the enormity of the task or the complexities and challenges. Just keep going one step after the next. Our passage tells us early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey, makes all the other preparations, and he sets out and goes. He doesn't drag his feet, doesn't get overly caught up in the preparations, doesn't procrastinate, doesn't get distracted. He just got up, got ready, and got going. And he kept going. We can only nightmarishly imagine how terrible that three-day journey would have been for Abraham. And yet he keeps putting one foot in front of the other as he plods along. What a picture of faithfulness, living by faith. So often it's simply doing the faithful thing moment by moment that matters, day in and day out. So often it's simply about sticking with it. On opening day of the 1954 baseball season, the Milwaukee Braves, so some things have changed, visited the Cincinnati Reds. Two rookies both began their major league careers with that game on the same day. The Reds won 9-8 as the rookie Jim Greengrass hit four doubles in his first big league game. A sensational debut for a young player with a made-for-baseball name. His name was Greengrass. The other rookie, who started that same day in left field for the Braves, didn't do very well at all. He went 0-for-5. For those of you who don't know anything about baseball, that means he didn't hit the ball at all the whole game long, which was not a very auspicious start for this young rookie named Henry. Luckily for baseball, luckily for us, he kept at it. He didn't give up. He worked hard. Because then he went on to play for 23 more seasons, hitting 755 career home runs, beating Babe Ruth's record. He had 3 Golden Gloves. He's one of only 2 players to hit 30 or more home runs in a season at least 15 times, not to mention being universally regarded as one of the greatest baseball players in history. He became nicknamed the Hammer, but most people simply know him as Hank Aaron. He struck out 5 times in his major league debut, and he stuck with it and became one of the greatest baseball players of all time. Maybe a big part of greatness, of faithfulness, is simply showing up, doing the work day after day. Abraham stayed faithful. He followed wherever God led, no matter where God led, no matter why God led there. And how? How was he able to do this? How was he able to be that faithful? Well, it's because he believed. It's because he trusted. He didn't always know why. He didn't always see where. He didn't always understand what. But he always knew who. He trusted that God knew the way. He lived knowing that God was going to be faithful. He followed after God. It's interesting that our author of Hebrews reveals what's going on in Abraham's head. You see, Abraham must have believed that God would simply raise Isaac from the dead. Because, of course, God is consistent. And so if he seemingly wants 2 contradictory things, either we're not understanding it the right way or God's going to do something rather remarkable. But even in the face of that, somehow Abraham trusted that God's path was the right one, even if others were going a different way. Somehow Abraham trusted that God's plan was a better plan, even when it didn't seem to make much sense. Somehow Abraham trusted that God's way was best, even when that way was difficult. What we find by this point in the story is that Abraham has learned that God is trustworthy, that God is faithful, that God is in control, and that God loves even Abraham. Or maybe we could get at this way. Both our Hebrews passage and our Genesis passage both reveal to us that this was a test. And if it's a test, it's worth asking the question, who was the test for? And I will submit to you that it's not like God needed this test. This test wasn't for God. But therefore, if the test wasn't for God, it must have been for Abraham. Teaching Abraham how much he feared and respected God. Teaching Abraham how far he would go in order to follow God. Teaching Abraham how much he trusted God and how trustworthy God always is. It can be costly and challenging to follow God. But we know that God is faithful. And so we know we can trust him. How do we live by faith? We do it by listening. We do it by following. And we do it by trusting. If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we pray that you would help us to hear you. Even though we live in a world of noise and distraction. And Lord, even though we fill our lives so full of stuff that it can be hard to hear your voice, Lord, make us better listeners. Make us more attentive to you. And then, Lord, help us to follow. Help us follow where you lead, no matter where or when or why or how you're leading there. Lord, help us to continue to put one step in front of the other. Help us spend time with you. Help us learn to follow you better. Because we trust you. Because we know that you're with us. Because we know that you love us. Lord God, help us follow you today and always. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.